This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hot and humid, 50% chance for showers. You know how it is. You get caught in a downpour. You swear the world's coming to an end. Then a half hour later, it's sunny. That's how life is here in New Orleans. Right now, we're hanging in at about 87 degrees. And no, beg your pardon, 79. Where did I get 87 from? Must be dyslexic. Aaron Dusso joins us now, our friend, director of political science at Indiana University in Indianapolis. How you doing, professor?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. Let me start with Trump and Putin and the meeting in Alaska and the politics behind all of this. Does President Trump have anything to lose, really, politically?
I mean, I think that he, you know, and his administration pushed to have this meeting because they wanted to have him, you know, be on the world stage and look like he is being a key part of making decisions with regards to the, you know, the war that's happening in Ukraine. And so, I mean, does he have anything to lose? I would say he probably doesn't have much to lose because, they seem to have downplayed the significance of this meeting over the last week and suggesting that, you know, telling us essentially don't expect too much from it. So I think that they're already setting the bar pretty low.
So why do it?
I mean, Donald Trump, unlike perhaps any president I certainly am aware of, it likes to be the center of attention for the world. And so I think every day they think about, well, how can we, you know, what can we do to have people looking at us? You know, obviously in a positive way they want, but ideally they want people paying attention to them. And I think this is something that the entire world is obviously going to be paying attention to.
You do not want Putin to eat your lunch, right?
Right. I mean, you don't want to come out of this meeting, which I very doubt will happen, where somehow Putin and Russia are claiming some kind of great victory. My guess is they'll leave this meeting and there will be perhaps some small agreement on something that they'll tout and we'll largely forget about it within a week.
So the last time they met, might not be the last time they met, I don't remember, but when it comes to Putin and Trump and President Trump and Vladimir Putin, he kind of threw the intelligence community under the bus in front of Putin. And it seemed as though in a lot of ways, Putin got the better of that press conference. Do you see a different President Trump as far as his relations with Putin here?
I mean, he's made some noises about trying to challenge Putin. Now, the question is, are those just statements for the press at the time, or is it something he's actually going to try and do, you know, hold Putin's feet to the fire? I would doubt that's going to happen. I would say, you know, Trump is going to continue the kind of the path he's gone down for a long time, which is to see Vladimir Putin and hold him up essentially as a worthy adversary that is some type of an equal to the United States.
What kind of politics does Putin have to lose here? I know you're not a Russia expert, but you do study politics. I'm just wondering, what is Putin looking to come out of this with?
Well, for Putin, the public opinion doesn't really matter, right? So he is he's not worried about the next election. And so for him, this is all about ego. So it's going to meetings like this and being held up. When you get to have a one-on-one with the president of the United States, that automatically puts you at the top of the heap when it comes to other world leaders. You know, we have a reputation, or have had a reputation around the world, where this is critically important. So, you know, just having the meeting, and particularly having it close to Russia up in Alaska, rather than having Putin come all the way to the United, you know, to the Washington, D.C., is another, you know, kind of victory for Vladimir Putin. So, you know, just having this meeting is a win already for him, because he's seen as the equal of the United States.
One fear that I have is that President Trump does have a huge ego, and I don't think anybody can dispute that, but that Putin, being former KGB, knows how to turn that against him and use it kind of like, what is it in the martial arts where you use somebody's weight against them?
Right. Flattery will go a long ways with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to getting a deal here, who ultimately really has, I mean, you're not going to go to nuclear war over this, right?
I mean, the question is can a deal even be reached? Obviously, the third party in this is Ukraine, and they're not even part of this discussion. And so to the extent that there would be a deal, the part of the United States would then have to somehow try and force Ukraine to accept it. And the only leverage we really have in that point would be to try and threaten to hold back our weapons and funding for you know, them to be able to continue their war against Russia. And so maybe Donald Trump goes that direction where he makes some type of a deal with Putin, but then he's going to have to also try and force Ukraine to accept. Because, you know, obviously Ukraine's already said that they're not willing to give up land in order to end this war.
So Putin did this originally. Let me try to phrase it a different way. I know we didn't invite you on for this, but this is a thing that's in the news and everybody's talking about. We'll take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. I'm just wondering, who needs the Ukraine more, United States or Ukraine more, the United States or Russia? And if the United States does decide to say, okay, you know what, that's fine, Zelensky, don't accept the deal, we're not going to give you any more weapons, can the Europeans pick it up and they don't miss a beat, and then the United States winds up the odd person out? We'll talk more with Aaron Dusa, also about approval ratings and Trump and Congress and more when we return. 620 Traffic Now, WWL. 624 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Aaron Dusa, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. About President Trump and his meeting with Putin coming up, and also about Trump's and Congress's approval ratings. What do the polls show in terms of popularity of President Trump in Congress?
Well, President Trump, you know, we had a recent poll just yesterday from Pew come out that had an approval rating at 38% in that one poll for Donald Trump, which is pretty low. But the cut, you know, right now I don't tend to look at individual polls, but look at the polling aggregate. And polling aggregate right now has, depending exactly where you look, has him at about 43 to 45% approval rating, which is down probably 5 or 6 points since January when he took office.
See, now to me, that 38% is it's never going to go below 38%, because there's 38 or 40% of the country that loves President Trump. You know that. Those are the people that he could shoot, as he said, somebody on wherever it was, Fifth Avenue, and they'd still back him. So to me, when I look at, and I interpret it a little bit differently, I guess, when I look at, what did you say, 43?
He's pulling averages.
As opposed to 48?
So if it depends, if you look at Real Clear Politics, he's sitting at about 45-46% approval rating polling average. If you look at, say, something like the Silver Bulletin, it's at 43-44% approval rating.
I guess to me, I look at it as considering how he has that 38% that's with him faithfully no matter what. As long as he's above that 38%, then he's doing pretty well. Is that wrong?
I agree with you. I think that 38% is about the base for him, and if he were to go below that, that would be a shock, and then he would his president.
That's when you know he's got problems. If he goes below that 38%, then he's got problems. If not, then I don't think he does. Not that it matters, because he doesn't have another election, but still.
But who it will matter to is Congress coming up next election. So having President Trump sitting at, say, 44% versus 38% can be huge. That could be the difference between, say, losing 15 seats and losing 45 seats. So that's where I think it matters a lot. It doesn't matter to him personally, I don't think. But for the rest of the Republican Party and running next year, this is huge.
So with that being said, as it stands now, the president's coattails are pretty long still.
I mean, I would expect that they're going to, you know, the Republicans are going to lose control next year. The only question is how many seats are they going to lose? Are they going to lose control where Democrats control the House by 4 or 5 seats, or are they going to lose control where Democrats control it by 25 seats? And there's a huge difference between, you know, those two things when it comes to the ability of Democrats to fight the Trump administration.
So it's all about Republicans that don't toe the line being primaried, or am I making that up?
I mean, that's been the threat, you know, particularly to get the Big Beautiful Bill passed. But my guess is, right, you know, Republicans this next coming year, they're going to be looking, they're trying to find the strongest candidate possible to try and hold on to as many seats as possible. So I don't expect that, unless some other bill that Trump needs to pass through Congress, he needs to threaten people with, I don't expect that the Trump administration is going to be looking to primary strong candidates, you know, next year.
I would think that there would be a tipping point at a whereas Republicans are not terrified of President Trump. Yes or no?
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe that 38% approval rating, if he starts dipping below that, that's where Republicans begin. Okay, he's losing his hardcore base. And that's where Republicans are going to say, we need to, you know, abandon ship, essentially, because we're no longer going to be propped up by Trump. We're going to be dragged down by him.
Mm-hmm. And that happens when, did you say? Or do you when do you think?
I mean, I would agree. Once, if he has aggregate approval ratings, not just one poll, but he has aggregate approval ratings that start to dip to that 39, 38%, or even go below 38%, that's it. It's over for him as the, you know, essentially the unquestioned leader of the Republican Party.
I don't know what he could do to lose any of that 38%. I don't. Honestly don't. Do you?
I agree. I don't know what, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that if the economy really tanks, we're talking about, you know, these tariffs somehow hit, and you have inflation that goes into the double digits, you have, you know, closings of plants and, you know, people, you know, unemployment goes up to 10, 15%, that would break him.
It's all about the economy, huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Always goes back to the economy.
Stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just quoting whomever it was that said that. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. It'll be interesting to watch that meeting today. I don't know how much we're going to get to know about it or find out about it, or how much we know about what really happened. But Trump and Putin set to meet at 2 o'clock our time in Alaska. When we come back, we're going to talk about crypto in general. President Trump signed an executive order that allows crypto in a 401ks, but what is it? And if your employer is starting to put your retirement into crypto, what does that mean? We'll find out when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. Man's got to know his limitations, right? When it comes to crypto, I don't know a lot because I have no intention of investing in it. The president, however, says that your 401k should have access to crypto and private equity. Well, Ryan Peters joins us now, finance professor at Tulane's prestigious A.B. Freeman School of Business. Talk about it. How you doing, Professor?
How you doing, Tommy? Good morning.
I'm okay. I don't know what crypto is, and I want no part of it because, to me, it has no intrinsic value. It's not really backed by anything, and it's like Beanie Babies back in the day where everybody got excited about Beanie Babies, and they were, no, seriously, and they were standing in line, and when all that was going on and people were paying $400 for a Beanie Baby that had no value, I said, you know what? Somebody's going to get stuck holding the Beanie Babies when this craze ends, and guess what? Somebody got stuck holding the Beanie Babies. Thoughts and comparisons?
Well, I don't think that's an unreasonable perspective on cryptocurrency and digital assets at all. A way I like to think about it is you can price it, but valuing it is really difficult, especially in the case of something like Bitcoin that doesn't have any, there's no dividends for Bitcoin, right? Digital assets as a category, which includes cryptocurrencies, can be set up in a number of different ways. So there are assets that are programmable. Some of them are equity-like shares in things that look like companies. Some are network tokens like Bitcoin or Ethereum that run a network. And so, you know, I don't think your perspective is wrong so much as maybe incomplete on, you know, the structures that you can set up inside of these things, maybe.
So let me ask you about private equity while we're at it, because I know a lot of private equity firms, and I wanted to talk about this, and I didn't know that, you know, you could talk about it. I hope you can. But President Trump says that you can also put your 401k in a private equity companies. A lot of private equity companies are buying up local companies. They continue to do operation under the family name. However, they combine them all into one big company. What's going on there? Do you have any idea?
So private equity as an asset class is broad, diverse, can include, you know, concentrated positions in single names, can include these kind of roll-ups. That's what you're talking about here, where a company buys up smaller companies, tries to improve operations, and then, you know, maybe make, looks to take that thing public or sell it to a larger entity later for an exit, or just sit on it for the cash flows. The executive order that Trump signed is about allowing custodians to give 401k access to these asset classes, private equity, digital assets. Trump himself doesn't have any control over what custodians allow 401ks to invest in. The EO is about directing the relevant regulators to mark these things as potential investments for 401k holders, essentially. So the first step would be that the regulators write rules allowing 401ks to allocate to these types of investments. And then if the custodians allow access, then 401k holders themselves would then be allowed to put allocations there.
So if a private equity company buys 18 different operations and combines them into one, they want the best return, they want efficiencies, right? So I don't see this ending other than less people doing the same work with cutbacks, which means less local employment, not necessarily better prices for people, but less employment, big business taken over.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And they are concerned with a return to Wall Street. Am I missing something or making stuff up in my head? Because I do. You can tell me if I am.
No, that sounds about right. That's a pretty standard private equity strategy. Mm-hmm. Buy up smaller independent operators in an area and, you know, try to get more profit out of them than you spent money to purchase them. There's a couple ways to get more profit. One is to raise revenues, which, you know, may involve setting higher prices. Another is to lower cost, which may involve cutting employment, reducing redundancies inside the operations of the smaller companies and things like that.
So with that being said, Tommy's Plumbing could have been competing with Ryan's Plumbing for years and years and years, and we'd see each other at the trade meetings, et cetera, et cetera. All of a sudden, private equity company comes along and offers us so much money, we can't turn it down. So we say, you know what, here, yeah, that's fine. You can have the company as well as the goodwill, which I think is how they refer to the family name in accounting. Is that right?
Goodwill is the premium paid above the book assets, but sure.
Okay. So with that being said, they buy both Tommy's and Ryan's Plumbing. They operate them as Tommy's and Ryan's, but it's actually one company that owns them. And eventually, when it comes to economies of scale, et cetera, I got to believe some of the people that are working for Tommy's aren't going to be there anymore. Some of the people that are working for Ryan's anymore. And guess what? The service is not going to be as good because there are less competitors. Again, am I making stuff up?
No, that's a reasonable strategy for private equity. You come in, you may or may not operate the underlying assets independently. You could roll them up into a single name brand, right? This is common in home services, things like, you know, car washes, famously in retirement homes.
Yeah. Is that a new trend or not, Professor?
Private equity has been doing this strategy for certainly decades. The private markets have gotten a lot larger over the last, couple of decades. So back in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of private assets. Honestly, companies were either, on the smaller side and probably private, or on the larger side and probably public, with some exceptions on both sides. Today, private capital markets are much bigger than they used to be. So larger companies, you can think about some even household names that are still private companies, your OpenAI or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's more dollars there. And yeah. So with more dollars, the strategies become sort of larger and able to do more things.
And they do throw a lot of money at the companies, right? The family-owned companies, families say, I don't know if we'll ever see this much money again. Let's sell. Accurate?
I haven't been on the inside of negotiations there, honestly. But my intuition is, probably. You can probably pay more for one of these small independent operators if your strategy involves rolling up competitors in an area and then increasing profit margins.
Long term, exactly. 6:52, we'll pick up with crypto when we come back. Ryan Peters, our guest, finance professor at Tulane's prestigious A.B. Freeman School of Business. He teaches a course on financial technology and blockchains. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 6:57, Tommy Tucker, WWO. A couple of minutes left with Ryan Peters, finance professor at Tulane's prestigious A.B. Freeman School of Business. Ryan, somebody texted in, I think it's a good question. What do you have to do to start up your own crypto company?
Starting a company is,
Or issuing your own crypto, for example. If I want to have Tommy's Bitcoin, whatever, I don't know, whatever you call it.
Well, you'd first distinguish between, a network token and a token issued on a network, right? So Bitcoin is a network, globally distributed computers running the Bitcoin software that are all talking to each other and maintaining the distributed ledger. That's, a lot more work than just issuing a token on a network. So you can't easily issue a token on Bitcoin, but the Ethereum network, Ethereum being the second largest digital asset, it's its own network token. On that network, there are things called smart contracts, which are programmable code that's written onto the blockchain that then runs. And one of the most common things that code does is manage the holdings of the tokens, so the ERC-20 standard tokens on that network. Anyone can do that. Crypto is permissionless. Anyone can go on and write things onto the blockchain. You pay, some fee for computation on the Ethereum network, and you can write a token contract onto the blockchain that then manages ownership of that contract.
Let
and there
me
are
ask
a lot
you
of
this.
These smart contract platforms, and on any of those, you can issue a token permissionlessly and for just a fee on the network.
Professor, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're running out of time, and I hope you can come back and spend some more time talking about this, because it just intrigues me and confuses me at the same time. And I don't know, how is this different than me printing tuck bucks and issuing them and saying, here's a standard of currency, tuck bucks you can pay for, whoever accepts them? I mean, that would seem like it borders on counterfeiting, doesn't it?
Lots of people issue assets. Every, publicly traded company has equity. Privately mm-hmm. traded companies have equity. People issue debt. You can think about the assets like that. What's important is the value underlying those assets, which is important to be able to do due diligence on. And certainly don't invest in any digital assets or any assets at all, debt, equity, or anything else, without understanding the underlying sort of economic thing happening, the risks and everything else.
Would you put your 401k into crypto?
I would think hard about it. The way I think about it is the whole digital asset space has a market cap around the size of a mega cap like Apple or NVIDIA, right?
Okay.
And
thanks.
So sizing it like that, I wouldn't call imprudent.
Come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.